This episode of the Vision Board Podcast is brought to you by Onnit. Why Onnit, you ask? Well, here's a word from Onnit's founder and CEO, Aubrey Marcus.
You know, Onnit is the company that has the tools to improve your performance. And in whatever area that you're looking for, we have something to do it. You know, it's like going to it's the Home Depot of house repair, but instead of house repair, it's body and mind repair. You know, and it's body and mind performance enhancement. It's going to that body shop and figuring out what tools that you can apply to help make your life better.
At the Vision Board Podcast, we only promote supplements that we use ourselves, and we only use the best. To give you insights, here's Johnny.
Yeah, guys, my two favorite that I take, one, Alpha Brain. Alpha Brain really helps improve mental focus and memory, and the second one I really swear by is Shroom Tech. Shroom Tech is designed to help your body with energy and cardiovascular endurance. What's your favorite, Tristan?
Johnny, the two that I love is the Warrior Buffalo Bars. I find these delicious snacks, and they're also perfect for when I'm on the road and also on the run. Also, I love the Dolce Whey. They're grass-fed whey protein isolate, perfect for my smoothies and also my post-workout shakes. Now, guys, check out the range at www.onnit.com, and please use code word VISIONBOARD for 10% off at checkout. Now, guys, enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, today is the first day of the rest of your life. And now, listen in as Tristan and Johnny bring it all to the table on the Vision Board Podcast.
Guys, welcome back. Episode 143 of the Vision Board Podcast. I'm Tristan Cannell. Alongside me, Johnny Stofko.
What's up, everybody? Friday wrap-up recap. We had George Foreman. We had Dr. Tom Bellella.
What a week, man.
Yeah, man.
Two interesting perspectives. Probably two of my favorite things that I've got going on right now. One is boxing. I love watching boxing. And two, I'm really intrigued about the nutrition and the science side of how our bodies work, you know?
And these two couldn't have been more up your alley than George Foreman and Bellella, man. Foreman, before we aired that episode, I probably listened to it four or five times. Mm. And some of the story he was talking about, Muhammad calls me and says, George, I can't beat Ken Norton, but you can. Please come back. And I'm thinking, now, George, if Ali was here right now, would he agree to that story?
That?
Yeah. It's something about the mystique of these former world greats, boxing heavyweight champions, your Evander Holyfields, your Larry Holmes, your George Foremans of the world that we've got to sit down and chat with, that post-career, these are my favorite interviews. Because we interview fighters
because they've got a lot of personality. I think that's for something that the fighters now, today, they lack a little bit of personality and class. And I think it could be coming back, especially when you think Anthony Joshua, has taken over as heavyweight champ. But now he's fighting some really good fighters.
Do you think, though, that it's between the fighter who's active in the career and the fighter who's retired? I just think it's more of me being a little selfish here. I think as a fighter in their career, they have to be wired a specific way, like kind of with the blinders on.
Well, I think the fans appreciated them a lot more because they knew that they took on the best of the best. The heavyweight champ was the heavyweight champion in the world, and there was a big mantle of being that crown. Do you know what I mean? Like, even in different movies that you see when the heavyweight champion of the world, he's claimed to be the best sportsman in the world too. Do you know what I mean? Like, he takes that crown. I think today's day and age, none of them are fighting each other. And it was great to see that, like I mentioned, that first fight with Klitschko and Joshua, the two best actually going at it. And if they do more of that and they bring out more personality, I think the fans will respond.
I like the storytelling side of things, though. I like, when we were talking to George and, you mentioned the fans responding, it's almost like you can't force a polarizing figure to be a polarizing figure. Like, you can't tell Anthony Joshua to change anything with his charisma or his personality to make him like Ali. There'll never be another Ali. Yeah. That sort of thing. And I think the hierarchy of heavyweights back in the day, who were all around, the Foremans, the Holmes, the Alis, they were just special type, once-in-a-lifetime type of fighters because they had the whole package. They had the marketing side. They had the talent side. They had the obviously the skill. And I think that we kind of take that for granted and expect that from guys in modern day.
Yeah, and when you think about they had no social media back in the day, and TV channels were limited. You think about how exposed they still were to the media. Can you imagine them in today's day and age? Like, it would be incredible the actual reach that they could actually put out, because today's people, they have this reach and they don't really use it properly. But back in the day, they had such a limited sort of ability with technology, and they still were able to reach the masses, you know what I mean? It's incredible.
It's an interesting perspective. It's hard to probably even fathom or try to wrap your head around that one to see, like, and Muhammad Ali on Facebook right now doing a Facebook Live. Yeah, like, exactly. Like, could you imagine? Like, I think like we evolve with the times. You know what I mean? Society, we go with the flow, and as technology evolves, I think it becomes intertwined in our characteristic traits as people to kind of evolve synergistically with that. So it'd be tough to even fathom George Foreman in his prime Olympian in Zaire doing an Instagram story.
That's fantastic. You know what I'm saying? Really? Like, have you watched the Ali movie with Will Smith?
Yeah, for sure.
That's a great movie. Yeah. They actually depict that sort of that last bit when that's how the movie ends.
I saw that on Christmas Day.
It's great.
Dude, Will Smith did an amazing job in that film. Jamie Foxx did an amazing job in that film.
Bondini.
It was critics hit that film up, but I thought it was amazing.
Such a hard story to tell, but right. For sure. Get it right because people are expecting so much because it's their guy.
It's Ali. Yeah. It was, he transcended the sport and, you know, having George on the show to give us insights about, like, their relationship and the behind-the-scenes conversation, it's special. You don't get to hear that.
Yeah, for sure. I love all those old documentaries. They're the ones I like watching on YouTube and seeing on ESPN.
Man. Oh, man, I always YouTube them. I'll be found up late at night watching Ali just speaking, like, giving, you know, going on the rants about why he's the greatest and why he's the baddest, and he must be. And, like, and then Foreman being coined a villain and vilified, you know, because you had Ali who was so polarizing. So how did the world never see that again?
Yeah, I guess for us too, with Ali passing away last year, we'll never get the opportunity to actually interview him, but it's great to get the perspective of those closest
of his circle.
So it's good to kind of, we're kind of interviewing him without interviewing him sort of thing.
Just yeah, for sure.
Perspectives on different how he kind of had that little circle and how he lived. And
yeah, that storytelling side of things, man. And Foreman does it. It's one of my, when I was a younger dude, we had a show that would come on right after Fresh Prince of Bel-Air on Mondays. Fresh Prince would come on at 8 and the George Foreman show would come on at 8:30. And like that was that's the Foreman I remember. So hearing him speak on the interview, like just hearing his voice, it took me back to when I was 9, 10 years old. And it was like nostalgic for me. Like hearing that same sort of.
Yeah. I think it's credit to Ali as well, the fact that with all these great people, there's only one man that all the stories always revolve around.
Yeah,
he's the only sportsman in the world that like that.
Like, when you bring up boxing, you know can't, I mean? Like, yeah, for
we,
sure.
We can't interview Jordan.
But Jordan, I mean, Michael, with basketball, you would kind of say, like, you can't bring up a conversation with basketball without saying MJ, but maybe not. You know, I used to think, I don't know if that's still true with LeBron. Would you still say MJ?
Jordan, if you're interviewing someone maybe on the sports side, but realistically, off the field, he didn't really do anything for it. You know what I mean? Like, in terms of the impact he had on the people, like Ali did, in terms of the way he spoke out, the way he protected people's rights, et cetera. Michael's done none of that. So.
Well, yeah, you're right. On two different levels, though, you know, Ali was way more than just boxing. It was, you know, he was a very huge figure of the times. But Jordan, though, is responsible for making basketball a global brand.
Oh, no doubt.
So he didn't do anything, like you said, necessarily to, you know, empower the people, per se, but for the sport of basketball, he took it to countries that had never seen it before. So he helped the sport transcend.
Helped grow, yeah.
But you're right, MJ, you know, he takes a lot of criticism for, you know, when he was selling his Jordans for $200 in the inner cities and people were literally killing each other over them.
Yeah.
And so I guess you can't really compare the two, can you?
No, you can't. All right, let's talk bit about nutrition. Tom Bellillo, I think you opened our eyes to maybe a few different things, maybe for me and you to maybe experiment with getting our blood work done. And
yeah, for sure, man. I love the, you know, they always say you'll never know if you never ask, and you know how we ended that and you threw that out there. Did that go on air?
No, that didn't go on
air. So guys, what I'm referencing is, you know, we got an awesome little moment with Dr. Tom and, you know, invited us to Jersey. Tristan's you're really into right now the blood work and figuring out this whole system of our bodies and the best way to, what's the intent there, to fully optimize your body?
I think it's to try and find out. It's not, I like to practice what I preach, but at the same time, I want to find out, like, I spoke to you before we got on air today. Like, I've got about 15 to 20 staple foods that I have in my diet, but how do I know?
Well, meals, foods are meals.
Different foods. So that could be like eggs, spinach, broccoli, chicken, kangaroo, etc. But how do I know for 100% certainty what I'm eating is good for me because it's a healthy food?
No, well, the blood work, so because he invited us there to Jersey and he's, you know, I think you're going to end up doing that, you know, in the near future. But answer me this and correct me if I'm wrong. After you do the test and you get the results back, will that still necessarily give you an outline?
I think it will. I think it's like 95% accurate.
Of saying the like intolerances and yeah, things.
And then things like minerals that you're deficient in.
Okay.
So I think
from some micronutrients.
From remembering what Dr. Tom said, a lot of people struggle with magnesium, vitamin D. You know, obviously we're out when some of us don't get out in the sun enough. So vitamin D deficiencies,
yeah,
obvious one. But, you know, magnesium, that's a great one that you taught me a couple of years ago. And since I've been taking that, I've been sleeping a lot better.
Yeah.
I've taken a few tablets. I've also tried the powder from the gym that
comes. Metagenics, for sure. It's a New Zealand brand, guys, listening, practitioner only. If you have a physio or a chiro, we both, Tristan and I, take it. We give it to our clients. And it was brought up on a recent podcast. The Metagenics brand is really leading the way in terms of the supplements. Like,
fantastic. Like, I think if you're going to experiment with two supplements, I think the first two that you should try are definitely magnesium and vitamin D.
Yeah, for sure. Another one that I've been very interested in, we did an interview, geez, it seems like over a year ago, with Dr. Sean Stevenson, and he was talking about the vitamin A that 95% of the world is deficient in,
yeah.
That at one time when, as people, we were eating organ meat, like brains, livers, kidneys, and it contained that vitamin A, and like only in the last 100 years we're now muscle meat eaters, which doesn't contain that vitamin A. So it'd be interesting to see also where like the other figureheads of the industry stand on that. Like, is that important? Are we deficient in it collectively as people, and what that deficiency is kind of doing to us?
Yeah, I agree.
Pretty interesting, man. Like, the nutrition field itself is a new thing, fairly new. Like, what, the last 50 years, maybe 40 years?
Yeah.
We still don't know what's going on. Like, when you and I were in grade school, they were teaching us as young kids to read the nutritional labels. And I'm like, are you kidding me? What? Real food doesn't have labels. Why do I have to read a label? I shouldn't have to read labels on food.
Yeah, for sure. But I'm sure that you've heard this before. I'm sure there's people listening out there right now, and they've said, even to themselves, I don't have time to work out. I've got to go work. I've got to go pick up the kids. But there's one thing that you can control is what you put in your food. So I've seen it firsthand with some clients that before we started training, I've got them to lose weight before they started training.
That's right. This is an awesome opportunity to do this. You bring that point up about the things we can't control. Let's share with our, you know, people listening, everyday foods that we cook. This is one big one for me I learned a couple years ago. So now I'm talking like the oils we use or the butters we use. And I'm, you know, Italian heritage. I grew up with a lot of pastas, and my family would use olive oil on everything.
Yeah.
I just found out a few years back, and guys listening at home, if you're using olive oil to eat, only use it at room temperature.
Cold, yeah.
Because once you heat it, it adds the fat particle, yeah. Fat molecule, and it becomes a trans fat.
Yeah.
And it becomes super unhealthy. So I think a lot of people don't know that.
Yeah. Actually,
so what's something that you...
I use coconut oil to cook with.
Yep.
So I also put a tablespoon of coconut oil in my morning shake.
What's in the shake?
And it's almond milk. There's whey protein. There's a green supplement. There's chia seeds. Sometimes there's some frozen blueberries in there. And I mix all that up. And that's usually because I commute in the morning, 45-minute train. So I usually drink that on the train while I'm...
What's the macro breakdown of that?
It would probably be... It'd be very close to kind of like... It's not... Well, obviously, it's out of 100.
Are you tracking that sort of stuff?
But it'll be very close to kind of very balanced. I like a very balanced sort of opening meal.
Yeah.
So obviously, 30, 30, 30 only equals 90. So it's kind of like give or take a little bit on each side, if you get what I mean. So it'd be kind of like 32,
33, 32. In terms of, yeah, like you're using the protein powder. How many grams of protein?
That's
like
32?
30 grams. Okay.
So I only have a little bit of almond milk. So it's a non-sweetened one, but realistically, the majority of that almond milk's water.
Yeah, and you're doing that first thing in the morning?
That's first thing in the morning.
What's the first like whole meal you're eating, like the first like solid foods? And what time, too?
On a training day, it would be probably 9 o'clock.
Yep. And is it a big meal?
It will be some form of carb. So it would be... I have taken oats out of my diet, so that's completely gone because I felt that it was affecting my sinuses.
Interesting.
And since I pulled it out, I'm still having a few issues, but not as many.
That's right.
So I'm eating either rice or a sweet potato as that carb source. And I usually have a protein source, which can be from smoked salmon, chicken, turkey, things like that, kangaroo. But I don't do a fat in that first, especially if I've just worked out. And something I learned from Dr. Tom, and he was saying about kind of that insulin spike that you do need after you work out.
Yeah.
And if you have the fat in there, you won't get the same effect. So it's just a carb protein meal. yeah. not a carb protein fat meal. So
I get that question asked a lot from my clients about, you know, what the breakfast meal for a lot of people struggle with, like what to eat for breakfast, because in America it's tradition to eat bacon, egg, sausage, pancakes, syrup, all sugar, all carbs. Then you crash and you're just exhausted all day. So what works for me is I wake up at 4:45 in the morning, and the first thing that I do is magnesium, a greens with water, and then I hit the road. And then I get to the gym, do some sessions. And then the first whole foods that I'll go into my body usually around 9 a.m., and that's only whole fat yogurt, a little bit of honey, and raw cashews.
Yeah.
And that just works, that's what works for me. And I sent a recent client like my whole breakdown for the whole day.
Yep.
And he couldn't believe how little I eat. Like I could function, I function optimized under 2,000 calories.
You consider how moving your job is too, in terms of like lifting up weights for people, holding pads for people. That's a fair bit. So it'd be interesting. You lost a fair bit of weight lately, didn't you?
Yeah, I've gone from 92. I'm at 80 right now, and stronger than I've ever been. A lot of that is change the training up, but. I think the point is, like, from what Tom was telling us, from what you just shared and I was talking about, there really isn't any one-size-fits-all, is there?
No. I think you just got to find out what works for you, and it's going to take experiments. So.
I think also, what I'm learning and I tell my clients is find out what doesn't work for you and write that shit down. Because for me, what doesn't work for me is carbs. Like, I eat rice. If I would eat rice, and that's just me, I have the digestion system of, like, an 8-year-old. If I eat carbs at 9 a.m., I'm swollen. I'm bloated. Yeah. I'm tired.
That's one of those things. You take things out. Like 2 years ago, I didn't have any dairy. And then last year, I reintroduced it and I was fine. I used to have really bad digestive issues with
dairy. You're eating eggs every day, right?
And then, I've just taken that out. Mm. And the first week, I don't know, maybe it's just maybe mindset. Maybe I'm just thinking it. I don't know. But I have felt noticeably more energy. So it's an interesting first take to take. Actually, this week took chicken and eggs out just to see the experiment there. So I'll probably do that for 4 weeks and then just reintroduce them and just see what happens, whether it was just a fluke coincidence or whether there is something behind that. So
yeah, guys, and everyone listening at home, if your coaches, if you're in a fitness routine and you have any questions about the nutrition side of things or the training, send us an email, man. We're always reciprocating on the back and forth questions from people listening. So
for sure, guys. Next week, big show. We've got the Shamrock Boys. We've got episode 144 will be Frank Shamrock. Episode 145 will be Kenny Shamrock.
Yeah, man. I've been wanting to watch these guys, talk to these guys for a long time. I watched UFC from UFC 1 until, I think tomorrow will be 214. And yeah. Ken is a big part of why the UFC is where it is today. Frank, his brother, was also a champion. And both excellent businessmen in their own right.
Yeah, it's going to be some awesome ones. I know that you, being a big UFC fan, looked up to these two boys. So it's going to be a great interview and some great perspectives, I feel, man.
Yeah, excited to bring to the table, guys.
All right, Johnny, social media before we go.
Yeah, follow me, guys. Johnny Stofko, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, on all socials.
Yeah, what is it? Johnny Stofko?
Yeah, Johnny Stofko.
There you go. All right, guys, I'm Tristan Cannell Fitness across all my channels. Get involved. Send me and Johnny plenty of emails, questions, whatever you want.
Just did you forget my name for a second?
Huh?
I'm messing with you. Yeah, guys, get a hold of us.
All right, guys. We'll check you with some big shows next week.
Yeah, peace.
Welcome to the Vision Board Podcast, stories of success from around the world.
You guys are scratching an itch, and that's why this podcast has become popular and successful, is because you guys are scratching an itch. You're enjoying it, and you're also benefiting from the knowledge that people are dropping.
I've never met the person in my life, including my parents, that was able to outwill me about me.
Whatever profession you're in, you need to keep working harder. Nothing comes easy these days, and you'll get knocked down, but get back up, that counts, so just keep working hard at it.
You guys said you do stuff, you ask things that aren't Googleable. You guys are two for two.
There's never been a time in my life where anybody ever was able to tell me who I was more than I knew who I was.
To join our vision and follow the journey, please subscribe to the Vision Board Podcast via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher.